This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan, broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Fenton. What a great place. Come on by and have the massive Woody sandwich. It's a double burger. It's three grilled cheeses, four pieces of bacon. Also, you can register to win opening day tickets. Martin is with us. Chris Kerber's online. Martin, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Fired up about Friday night hockey. You know what? The Blues have become must-see TV. There's no doubt about it.
And must-listen to radio.
That's what I meant to say, of course.
Yes. The voice of the Blues joins us now, Chris Kerber. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And, thank you, Martin. I appreciate that.
I meant both, of course, of course.
I know you did.
All right. First of all, let's get the health rundown of the three stars that did not play the other night and their status possibly for tonight.
Well, Alexander Steen is going to be back in, Frank. It looks like, based on the way they did the rushes here at the morning skate, he's going to be on the right wing with Bozak at center and Robbie Fabry will go to the left side. David Perron did not make the trip. So he is back in St. Louis. I don't know what his status is for tomorrow night. Braden Schenn did make the trip. There was a chance, I guess Ruby said there's a chance he could play today. He will not play tonight, so he will not be in the lineup. Blues are going to go with their same defense core that they've had. Why change a thing there? So Michael Delzato will not play, I think, his Blues debut just yet. And Jake Allen is going to be the starter tonight with Jordan Binnington expected to go tomorrow night against Dallas on home ice.
Curbs, on the trade deadline the other day, Doug Armstrong, you know, alluded to the fact that he didn't really want to mess with what's been working, but also these guys who've been playing well collectively, not punish them. Do you kind of buy into that? And in the past, we jump up and down at the deadline, hey, make a big move, show you're serious. But I kind of agree this year that it's working.
No, I agree with him. You know what, you've talked to enough players at the deadline, and when there's a glaring hole, the players know it, and then if it's not filled, the players wonder if there was a chance to fill it. In this case, for the St. Louis Blues, there isn't a glaring hole with the way they've been playing. I thought if there was any area that they could improve the team, one might be if there's a forward with more experience to add some depth on the bottom six. If the price was right, because you still have some young guys, obviously, with Mackenzie McCracken, you filled in with Blay, you've got Sanford, you've got Thomas in that mix. But the flip side of it is I also thought that they could use some defensive depth, and that's the area that Doug Armstrong decided to address. You know, you gave up a six-round pick for Michael Delzato, and the last two six-round picks that have actually played for the Blues, you've got Sammy Blay, we've seen what he's done this year, and the last guy before that was Roman Polak. So not highly likely that a six-round pick is going to play for you. And so to give him up to get that defensive depth, because it turns out Carl Gunnarsson is going to be out another few weeks. So that's the area that he decided to address. But I think it also, Martin, works in the favor of the players, and the players feel like, no, these guys have confidence in us. We're the ones that have been getting it done. And sometimes you just don't mess with what's not broken, and this has been good for the Blues.
Chris, everywhere I go, people want to ask about Craig Berube, what makes him tick, why is he special. In addition to him holding players accountable, is there like a subtle difference in strategy, like in terms of puck possession? Explain that in as layman a terms as possible. And do you think that's one of the big differences in his regime?
Yeah, that really is. Somehow, you know, it's not that they've really drastically changed the systems. It's just that you look at what they're doing, and they're controlling the puck more. They're not forcing the play in the offensive zone as much as they were at the beginning of the year. If the play's not there, they're eating it along the boards. Pat Maroon in the last month and a half has been an absolute beast on this front. They're not giving it up. They're waiting for support. And what's really happened, and what's been a big difference, is the puck support. When you look at the breakout, instead of the defenseman having the puck and everybody flying away from him and there's nobody in close quarters and they're trying to force a long rink-wide pass, typically the centerman is looping near him. And if the long pass isn't there, the short pass option is there. That's helping with the breakouts. The same thing with the play in the neutral zone. And when this team has played well, you're seeing two, three guys around the puck. You're seeing them try to outnumber the puck on the forecheck. If the defense has one guy on our forward, then another forward comes over to help out. And they're winning those puck battles. So that's been a big difference. I think that the two other things that Craig Berube has really instilled in this team, one is just aggressiveness. I mean, let's face it, the guy's got a presence of his own, right? And we've seen some of the memes on the bench. I mean, he's got intensity. But what he wants is, hey, look, if you're going to make a mistake, at least make it out of playing good aggressive hockey, not passive hockey. And his quote to us, and I loved it, he goes, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's somebody playing passively. So he wants these players to play aggressive. He wants the defenseman jumping up. He wants the forwards going after the puck. And, again, if you make a mistake, it doesn't mean he's not going to jump on you. But at least it's a mistake of aggressiveness. The other thing that he's really harping on is hard on sticks. He's calling them heavy sticks. Yeah, you could see this with the defense. I think Larry Robinson's time on the bench helping Colton Parayko, helping Joel Edmondson out with the stick usage has been great. But heavy sticks. Put your stick on the ice. Be hard on the other team's sticks. Don't let them knock your stick around. Don't let them knock the puck off your stick. Those are the kind of things that he's really instilled that I think has helped this team in a small way within their systems.
And, Curbs, from a personality standpoint, I think it's interesting that it seemed to be shifting where players had more say, and if you didn't treat them right, they'd run you off. And, you know, we see it in the NBA, the players basically pick the coaches. And along comes a guy who looks like he'll take no crap. He's in charge. I feel like that's going away these days, and yet we get a guy who is clearly old school, and it's working.
Yeah, he is. You know, Craig Berube at one point didn't know that he wanted to be a coach, and then when he kind of tried it, he got the bug for it. You know, and when you ask him, you know, not asking him a whole lot of questions about, are you going to get the, you know, like, I don't use the interim tag. I don't understand the interim tag in a coach. If he's your head coach, he's the head coach. Now, maybe it's only for a month, but he's the head coach, right? So that's why when I do my interview, you never hear me say, well, we're talking to Blues interim head coach. No, it's always Blues head coach. He said, I just want to coach somewhere. I want to be a coach. I've learned to love it. I've learned to have the passion for it. It's helped fuel that competitive level he has. He loves teaching. And I'll tell you, he's been really good with the young guys. He's been a coach that, you know, while the veterans have responded, the young guys have continued to improve with him. And I'm sitting here in Carolina. There's two guys on the ice right now, you know, slapping the puck around. One guy in front of the net on the one end looks like Ivan Barbashev knocking pucks down. And on this end right in front of me is Mackenzie McEachran. He's got about 15 pucks in front of him. He's standing in the slot. There's nobody else on the ice. And you want to talk about a little Ryan O'Reilly effect? This guy's sitting here working on shots trying to lift it underneath the bar. So Berube's instilled some work ethic in these guys as well.
When David Perron does come back, where does he fit in line-wise, gut feel? Because you could make the case, Chris, that when he did, you know, suffer the upper body injury, he was your second-best offensive player at the time. Now, since then, Tarasenko's gone nuts.
Yeah, I honestly, with the way, and I guess, you know, in the last couple of practices, he's looked really good. So you're hoping to get him back soon. I got to think he automatically goes right back on the left side with O'Reilly and Tarasenko. That's where I'd put him. David can play the left. He can play the right. I'd put him on the left side with O'Reilly and Tarasenko. Jaden Schwartz has been okay filling in there, but it hasn't quite clicked for others as it has. It hasn't quite clicked for Jaden as it has with others there. So right now you've got Robbie Fabry with Bozak and Steen. If Perron were to come back tomorrow and the lineup didn't change except for that, I think you end up putting him right there with O'Reilly and Tarasenko. You put Schwartz back down with Bozak and Steen. Robbie Fabry maybe slides in on that fourth line or is a healthy scratch depending on how Sanford's going. And to me, that's where it goes. He played well enough that I think you put him back in there and see if he's still got it coming off the injury.
You think the Jake Jordan decision tonight versus tomorrow doesn't really matter? Do you think it still has to do with the road-home splits?
Actually, it might. I didn't ask that question. I just got done interviewing Craig Berube. I didn't ask him that specifically. I think it might have to do more with the Eastern Conference team versus a team that's coming into action today. You know, the Dallas Stars are still within range of catching the St. Louis Blues. You know, they're 6 points back. They're in fourth in the division. We're in third in the division. So I think it actually has a thing to do where I'm going to play Jordan tonight because it looks like Curtis McElhinney could get the start for Carolina. And the Blues have ripped up McElhinney pretty good over his career. But the start for Carolina is what I meant. So I think it was you're going to play both guys on this weekend. There's no reason to gas them both. They've both been playing well. Give Jake the start on the road and play Jordan against the divisional matchup.
How would you evaluate the former punching bag here in St. Louis, Jay Bouwmeester, over the last couple of months?
He's been terrific. He could make the case he may be playing his best hockey he's played as a Blue. The criticism of him at the beginning of the season was loud. and in all fairness, it was fair. His play was not good. Now, he was still recovering from that hip surgery, apparently. It took a while. Some guys take a year. He's managed to close that gap in a real hurry. So when I asked Craig Berube about him, he said, you know, everybody's giving Ryan O'Reilly credit for the work ethic that he's putting on the ice. He goes, I'm going to tell you that Jay Bouwmeester works every bit as hard on the ice, every bit as hard off the ice, and he should be getting some of the credit, too, for his work ethic and what the play, you know, the young guys are seeing as well. So Jay's been really good. And, you know, in the final year of a contract, good for him. And we'll see what it means for his future, whether it be here or elsewhere. But he's been a needed change. It was hard on this team when you're the two defensemen that were your biggest liabilities were Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester at the beginning of the year. And now that coin is completely flipped. So he's battled back. He's done it quietly. And as much as probably took some heat, not probably, did take some heat at the beginning of the year, he deserves some accolades for how he's playing right now.
Chris, is there a best-case scenario? We've talked about avoiding Winnipeg in the first round or hosting if you're going to face Nashville. Certainly the Predators would be a great storyline. Frank and Martin and TV stations love the proximity of Nashville. Maybe you win right. The division, then you face a wild-card team. Is there a best-case scenario in your mind?
Yeah, honestly, and I know it seems a little pie in the sky, but the best-case scenario for me is you win the division, so you're not playing either one of those two teams. And you're letting Nashville and Winnipeg beat each other up in the first round. I mean, that to me is a best case scenario. I mean, as it sits right now, you know, you still have the five Central Division teams that are top three in the division plus the two wild card spots, and it's even a Central Division team that's ninth in Colorado. But if somebody says, "What do you want, Jude?" I don't care if it would be dropping into a the wild card spot where you're playing in the Pacific Division against Calgary. So to me, the two best scenarios are this: you either win the division and let Nashville and Winnipeg beat each other up, or you end up the top wild card team, or I'm sorry, the second wild card team, and then get moved over to the Pacific Division. Even though you're traveling more, I'll at least take that first round matchup against Calgary if I had my druthers right now.
Chris, good stuff. I'll be listening tonight. Martin will probably be watching it, but I'll be listening because I'm loyal to you.
You know what? I love the old school radio approach you take, Frank. Thank you very much for that.
All right, young man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
I actually turned down the volume. I actually do my own play-by-play at home. I've been honing my craft for a while here.
All right, Chris Kerber is brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is locally owned and operated. It's a family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next. With 50 locations to serve you in a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot-and-ready pizza, fresh fruit, and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
Do we think Charlie Tuna has reached his car yet? He's slow, we know that, but I think today he actually parked in the old Chrysler plant. He gets a little nervous if your car is too close to a building.
Are you kidding?
Slightly kidding. He was about a football field away. There was plenty of open spot, and it could just be his senility that he's not sure where he's going.
Or maybe he's kind of an older fella, just needs a workout, and he considers walking inside the building a workout.
And by the way, I'm getting blamed for the fact that the slop now ends at 11.
I think it's Brian.
I said the reality is, I actually do think it's Brian. A lot of these guests, and I told Andy and Charlie, they will call us and say, hey, I'd love to be on the show, but can I do it at 10:59 on Friday? And
we said,
if we have to, well, we can accommodate. I mean, Chris said, you know, I know I'm usually flexible, but on Fridays, it's going to be right at 11.
That's a shame. All right, we'll take a short time out. We're going to tell you about Hollywood Casino's big event with Mardi Gras coming up. We'll have the Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Every time I hear this music, I think I should be Brent Musburger. So the NBA Finals move deep in the heart of Texas. It may not be the Alamo, but for the Rockets, it could be their last stand. Hello again, everybody. I'm Brent Musburger. All right,
Brent, why are you on at 11 o'clock at night bringing us the NBA Finals? Think about how far sports has come on television. the NBA Finals on tape delay.
Wow.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Thank goodness for Larry Bird and Magic Johnson bringing the league back. We're going to have our five questions in just a moment, but I want to head to Hollywood Casino first. Micah Skillington, one of their great managers out there, is joining us, and it's a big weekend at Hollywood because it is Mardi Gras, and there's a $25,000 prize pool. Micah, how are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you doing today, Frank?
Very good. Tell me about this $25,000 prize pool.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Sunday, you know, keep celebrating Mardi Gras through the weekend, so you got to have something to do on Sunday. From 4 to 8 p.m., we're going to be giving away $25,000 to 50 winners. From 4 to 8, each winner will win $500 in free slot play. So it's a pretty big deal. Everybody can come in, get an entry for free just for being over 21 and coming into our casino and getting an opportunity to participate.
Wow, that's a great deal. And then tell me a little bit about the Mardi Gras festivities at Hollywood Casino this weekend.
You know, there's always things going on here. We have six great restaurants to choose from. You know, they're talking about a little bit of snow. I don't know if you've heard that in the forecast, but come and make a whole weekend out of it. Come stay with us, participate in the drawing on Sunday. You don't even have to deal with it. You don't even have to leave property. Always.
Oh, I like the idea. Just stay in one of those newly refurbished rooms that look like the Ritz. Don't have to worry about the snow. You wake up on Sunday morning, have a little brunch, and then head on home.
Perfect idea. Exactly. Make it a three-day weekend. Stay on Monday, too. Why not?
Perfect. And the Mardi Gras starts tonight, or is it Saturday?
So it's the Mardi Gras, the actual parade, is tomorrow down in Soulard. Great times down there. We'll be down there participating. And then, obviously, on Sunday, we're celebrating here.
Awesome. Great stuff. Mike, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon. Take care.
All right. Micah Skillington joining us.
That doesn't sound like a bad idea. If it really is going to snow 4 to 6 inches Saturday, you could just walk around, have a little breakfast. You could walk down like Majerus, be in your robe, and just have a coffee, go back up, come down, play a little poker,
yeah,
and then eat a little lunch, maybe take a nap or two.
One night you eat at the Final Cut, and another night you eat at Gito's, the all-you-can-eat buffet. Oh, boy, that
look out,
good.
It's snowing, just go back to bed.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy when you hear 4 to 6 in March? I know it's happened before plenty of times, but it's like Ann Allred said, she's, I'm just ready to get out of here.
Right. She didn't mean Channel 5. She just
meant.
Yeah. I think everybody's at the point. I think Andy Banker tweeted, "Why do I live here? Like, I need to move."
Yeah.
And then you see those spring training highlights, and they just kind of make you angry. Most people get excited. Wow, baseball is close. You just look, and they're all walking around in T-shirts and shorts, and I'm like, actually now a little jealous.
4 to 6. Wow.
All right. 5 for Frank is brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
The Bryce Harper deal vindicates the Cardinals. True or false? When you saw 13 years, and I'm guessing John Mozeliak feels the same, but doesn't this make them look better? Nobody wanted them to sign Harper to a 13. Now, Brian Hoffman's not here today.
Yeah.
He has been passionately pursuing Harper on behalf of the Cardinals. I think we even offered Frank's food picks to Bryce and his wife that they could, you guys could kind of team up with their food picks. But the 13-year part of it, don't most cities and fan bases look at that and say, well, we didn't want that?
Because he would be 39. He'll be making $22, $23 million at age 38 and 39, which is still better than Albert in a sense because he'll be making 25 at age 41 or 42, right?
So when that deal ends, I think Carson will be a senior in college. He's currently in second grade.
Is that right?
Just think about that. He's in second grade.
That's assuming he passes.
Well, that's true. If all things go well. Maybe he'll be ending his junior year, in theory. But do you think that number for fan bases that wanted Harper, they say, well, I didn't want that? Or do you think any Cardinal fans are saying we should have had him?
I think there's some that feel that way. Yeah. The money doesn't bother me quite as much as the years, though. You're right. Now, Brian is a guy that's not really conscious of the economics of anything, in fact. like Brian, he believes that all athletes should be paid. I said, so, Brian, do you
mean college athletes? Yeah.
Like, you mean like the tennis players and the golfers?
He'll just say, sure.
Pay
high
all.
School athletes, sure.
Yeah, so I agree with the premise of Brian's comments that hey, Cardinals have plenty of money. They should spend it as much as possible. But 13 years is a little excessive.
So the Phillies won the offseason. Do you think they'll win anything next year? Usually the team that wins the offseason. I mean, and they did get aggressive.
I don't know if they still have a championship pitching staff yet.
They did, to their owner's credit, he lived up to his promise.
Yeah, he did.
We'd spend some stupid money. Jimmy Hewitt, that's stupid money if you look across the board.
That was crazy money. They could still go get Dallas Keuchel.
That would be fun.
That's what they need to do.
If they do that, then I'd say they're legitimately a chance to win the division out there or a wild card.
John Mozeliak told me in his office, he said, the Phillies are going to get him. He said that about 3 months ago.
Wow.
And they were pretty open about wanting him. And how about Scott Boras? It wasn't the highest per year. He had to get – it was like the Price is Right.
He had to get more,
but your guy doesn't make as much per year. Doesn't matter. My number is bigger.
You're 14th all-time, I think, in terms of average salary.
Right, but we got the most. Yeah. And this is a follow-up. This is all question one, I believe. Shouldn't all parents now make their kids play baseball over football? They pointed out Kirk Cousins is the highest NFL deal ever in terms of guaranteed money. I think it's $84-86 million. And this is now $300-330 million. This offseason alone, we saw in Kyler Murray's.
I'll also throw in.
He's going football, but.
You're left-handed on no matter what you do. I don't care.
Yeah. Tie their arms behind
their
back.
Yeah, no, you want to be a right-handed thrower. And a
lefty reliever, maybe.
Yeah.
Then you can pitch till you're 50.
Yep. Now, here's something interesting along these lines. Is Todd George from Hollywood sent this to me this morning. Is it 2019 or 1919? Baseball has become now one of America's hottest sports. Participation is up 21% in 4 years, which is kind of surprising because we've been under the perception, oh, baseball's dead, nobody plays it anymore. But, I mean, these select kids and these select organizations, they are booming, booming.
Well, and the line coach for CBC, the owner at the Great Grizzly Bear the other day, Bill was telling me it's hard to find freshman football teams to play each other.
Yeah.
He said a lot of times if you have a freshman team in football, you got to play somebody else's JV or somebody else's sophomore. So there's no doubt that the football numbers are down. And that number that Todd George gave you doesn't surprise me.
And maybe it's a fact that I don't know if all parents are looking at scholarships. But okay, maybe they say, okay, look, I don't want you to play football because of concussions, and you don't have a chance unless you're 6'5 or above in basketball. Baseball, you can be Colton Wong size and be a really good player. I think that's part of it, too.
Number two, give me one reason Kurt Warner shouldn't be the Monday Night Football choice for ESPN.
I guess if Peyton Manning were to say yes, I could see how ESPN would go with a little bit more sizzle. But I think Kurt would be terrific. As you and I were talking about the other day, he's not afraid to criticize. He's been doing this. He's been getting his reps. It's the one job in the whole world where executives can think, hey, Jason Witten caught balls. Let's put him in one of the most prominent broadcast booths in the country, and let's not have him practice before. You know, it's crazy.
I love an ESPN headline yesterday. They were having a panel discussion, shocking, and it said, why did Witten decide to leave and go back? I'm like, you guys know as much as anybody that the broadcast thing flopped. And do you think Witten wanted to play football again or thought this is the best way to get out of this awkward broadcasting situation?
Probably a little bit of both. But I do think... And I mentioned this earlier. This is probably the first time, and Martin, you've gone through this, and I went through it. The first time you find out that people don't like your work or don't like you.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious. There's one or two out there.
But most of mine are relatives.
Yeah. But Witten, I mean, I'm telling you, this is the first time he's ever been criticized in his life. He's always been the star player. Even when the Cowboys were rotten, he was the great Jason Witten. And all of a sudden, he's getting killed. I don't need this in my life. I'm going to go back and play football.
Is there any way he could have been insulated from that? He had to know, right?
No, there's no chance.
And nowadays, every player lies and says, oh, I didn't read anything. Don't most players, like Jay Bomeister probably knew he was getting tattooed. Don't you think? Is there any way where you could be a player abroad and, like, not know that people are crushing you?
You have to have real thick skin and just don't care.
Yeah. Like, how could you Like, how could you avoid it?
Yeah. Everybody knows what... What they think of you nowadays.
I can't see Warner saying no, right?
Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah, because the only thing Warner doesn't want to do, I don't believe, is work Sundays because He is the offensive coordinator of his son's high school team, and his son is a quarterback. He's got to be there on Friday nights. And so on those Sunday things, they may have you flying. So I think Monday is the perfect. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yep. All right, Frank, the game of the night. I'm sorry, Curbs, it's not in Carolina. It's DeSmet and CBC. And I think it might be televised on the Cadet Student Network. I should know that. But if this game is on TV, are you doing a split screen? Are you going to the game?
I got a call last night from a coach said, you want to go? Because it's an 8 o'clock game. It's late. Look, I saw the last time they played, and I don't see how CBC could lose. But Kent Williams is a hell of a coach. And if, you know, the Smets got to find a way to get that shooter some space because CBC is just suffocating on D.
All right, number four, and I apologize to our on-site friends here at Hot Shots, but there was a story. A man charged, and this happens, I guess, every once in a while in the restaurant business, but he was charged with dipping his testicles in the salsa. And if I had the man here, Frank, what one question would you ask this man?
Are you a member of the human race? Restaurant?
No, I should have printed out the story.
It's not a chain?
I don't think it was
a chain.
Is there
a video?
Oh, God. Boy, after the Robert Kraft video, I think we will have seen enough. My question is, you know, why? But did you do it to punish the customer in some gross way? Or is there kind of thrill that comes with that? There something that we aren't aware of?
Now, did he do it over a consistent basis?
I'm going to have to look right.
Is this the first time?
Did he do it because they sent back a steak that didn't think was cooked well enough?
I mean, these are all fair questions, but I am now being forced.
Did you know the story, Jim?
Have you heard this?
I saw the story, and I think
Charlie
Marlowe. Everybody else did it.
Charlie actually, favorited it or something, so we all saw it.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
And I think, but now you're forcing me to type in dipping testicles into salsa. I promise to find out.
God, I have to do a Kumals Live after this, too.
17 other stories don't come up.
I'm a little concerned about this search at this point. I do want to ask the guy, though, why?
I've heard the armpit thing, if you send back a steak, one of these.
Yeah. You and McCormick at a bonanza back in the day. Eat half of it and then say, I'm not eating the rest of this. Brian McKenna says that's called double dipping. Should have known that McKenna would respond to this. Okay, number five. Five for Frank. Give me percentages next year. SLU, Mizzou, Illinois make the NCAA tournament. Just kind of your gut right
now.
Each one. Give me a gut on, I'd say Illinois, who knows who's coming back, but maybe a 15% chance NCAA.
Yeah, they have a great recruiting class. I'd say 20 because they shut a pulse here down the stretch.
Okay.
Mizzou, boy.
And then in that kind
15,
of 15-ish
20,
range,
yeah.
I guess my point is you're not expecting. And then SLU, I can't even get to 50. I'd say, 40% maybe, 35, 40?
I'll say.
There's still some recruits out there to be had.
Yeah, I'll say 50 because there's four really good ones. They're going to bring in a big. Still not a great conference, and I think it'll probably be a conference where you get two in there. Yeah, I think there's a 50-50 chance that they could finish in the top two next year.
Jimmy, are you optimistic?
I'm optimistic about SLU for those reasons. Is Yuri Collins going to play next year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there. Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yes. Here's the question for Mizzou. Do you think Jonte will come back?
No chance.
You don't think so? Because I think his draft status is going to take a major hit.
Yep. Here's what
we saw what happened to his brother, and everybody said, he's a top five no matter what. And
but
he wasn't.
His brother got paid.
He did.
And if I'm a porter and I have these bodies where I have tendonitis and knees and bad backs and always injured and everything, I know there's only so many trips around the track, I'm going to get paid. And you're right, Jim. There's no doubt about it. His draft status, it's a tough to think that he could go in the first round. But if I'm him, I think I'd go try to get paid right now.
Okay. That is a big factor in determining how good they'll be next year, I think. Because if he comes back, they're definitely in. I'll say 30% because I think this group gets older and more experienced. And Illinois, I think it's 35 to 40%.
Okay.
I like the way the team has come around. They're still young. They lost a game against Penn State this week. But I think they're getting better. And obviously it depends if DeSumo comes back. If he's back, I think they're
Io
legit.
And Georgie together, get those guys both, which is maybe a long shot that Io comes back. But I agree. I would be high on that team if I knew those guys were back. And Mizzou, I'm concerned about. SLU is kind of that,
Yes.
All right, so, of course, all these serious topics today.
I was going to show you a picture of the guy.
Here we go.
Oh, my God, he looks like him.
I have the full.
He looks like a guy that would do that.
There he is.
Oh, my God. So here's all of our responses now. Doug's prison wallet, mild or hot. Didn't that burn a little? He was a delivery driver.
Yep.
And he said, this is what they get for giving me an 89-cent tip. What kind of monster uses salsa instead of guacamole? Doug's prison wallet, you are the best.
Oh.
Customer was a poor tipper. My question would be, how good looking is he? Oh, gosh. Got to add some avocados to any good salsa. Oh, boy.
Here's the actual story. This is just, you know, ripped from today's headlines. That's all. Dipping your testicles in someone else's salsa is unappetizing, to put it mildly. But is it a crime? Howard Matthew Webb of Maryville faces a felony charge after authorities say he placed his in a salsa container that was then delivered to a woman who had ordered Mexican food through an online delivery service. Police arrested Webb last week. This is out of Tennessee. Arrested Webb last week on a charge of adulteration of food, liquids, or pharmaceuticals. It's a Class C felony, punishable by a sentence of 3 to 6 years for first-time offenders. Under the statute, which is rarely used in Tennessee, a jury would have to find Webb adulterated the salsa with his genitals and that he did so with his intent to cause bodily injury. Three seasoned attorneys not connected to the case told the Knoxville News Sentinel they believe that law does not apply here. Local defense attorney with more than 20 years of experience delivered his view with a little more zest. How in the hell would you think dipping in someone's salsa is going to kill them? Basically saying it's crazy that he has been punished. And then they show a nice photo of salsa, which doesn't look as... All right, the driver worked as an independent contractor, an online delivery service serving parts of East Tennessee and North Georgia. He's not been charged with a crime.
You're really kind of killing my love for salsa.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right now.
Okay. Thank God it's not Cinco de Mayo. And Brian McKenna has not stopped. He said this is a Mexican baptism. I'm trying to. Not sure what else we can say on the air. Anyway, that was Five for Frank, like you've never heard it before on this March the 1st.
All right, I'm going to hold the Key Malls live spot till the next break. So we'll take a break. We're broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Fenton.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. DeSmet against CBC tonight. Martin is giving me 15 points for $100. Parkway Central, 8 o'clock.
By the way, we're eating tater tots while watching the combine. And that's all he can bench? We're watching these guys run and sprint and drop passes and lift weights, and we're sitting here eating tater tots, which, by the way, is an underrated snack. Frank, the story about, I know, just to be fair, with the details, the delivery driver who took advantage of the unsuspecting salsa, the man would have avoided arrest, they said, if he and the delivery driver had not made a video that appears to show him defiling the salsa in the passenger seat. The 14-second clip somehow made its way to Facebook, racked up hundreds of shares before ultimately landing him in the hands of law enforcement. The female driver can be heard saying, "This is what you get when you give an 89-cent tip for an almost 30-minute drive," the female driver says through laughter on the video. And then Webb, while defiling the salsa, says, "Ooh, it feels so good on my bleep."
So there's actual video of?
There was, apparently.
You did not see it.
I did not see it.
No.
I can honestly say I didn't see it. And I guess if you're going to give a bad tip, don't do it before the food is delivered.
Never.
Well, I think a lot of times
if you order.
Or if you call in and say, would you like to do the tip, it's a lot easier to do it then.
And it takes two people to deliver this food?
Right.
Well, I wonder what this will do to Matt Carpenter's salsa.
Right.
Oh, no.
I think he's...
Every one of these texts are salsa related.
I blame Charlie Marlowe for putting this into our timeline.
Yeah. And the prodigal, you are disgusting, man. I love you, but that's the worst text I've ever received.
Yeah. We don't need to share all things that have been texted in. Hey, online now, the Cardinal voting is available for the Hall of Fame. That's up and running.
Put together by that brilliant Red Ribbon Committee, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can whittle down all these Cardinal players over the years without Martin and Frank in the room. I mean, I know Herzog and La Russa are in there.
Yeah.
Rick Hummel's in there, and the DeWitts are in there, but you kind of want Martin and Frank to really
give it a more youthful.
Yeah, whittle that field down. Scott Rolen, Matt Morris, Edgar Renteria, John Tudor, Izzy. Who did I forget there? Hold on. Did I say Renteria, Rolen? Oh, Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez.
Yeah. So it's going to be Hernandez and Rolen, and I think next year it'll probably be Izzy and Tudor. That's my gut.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And now Scott Rolen, great Cardinal. Wish he would have been here longer. MVP candidate, Gold Glove guy. But there was some, because he and Tony battled, I think some fans were down on him. Or if you're an injured player, sometimes fans kind of knock you for that. But I think you're right. On the whole, if you look at the numbers, Keith Hernandez, who, by the way, wrote the book, which was a glowing review of his time in the Cardinals farm system and really an homage to George Kissel. The mistake was the covers got him in a Mets uniform.
Yeah. Most of the book, and I've just finished it a few days ago, most of it is about his time with the Cardinals. You know what's interesting about the book, too, Martin, is that he paints Gibson like you think you would paint Gibson, as really kind of a hard-A, non-nurturing veteran, and then Lou Brock as just the greatest and the best teammate and the best person. So it just – and then, you know, Red was a little bit of tough love. Red was not great with Hernandez, and Ken Boyer turned around his career when one day he just told him in an airplane, he says, I don't care if you go 0 for 200, you are my first baseman. And Hernandez really thinks that was like one of the most important moments in his life.
And it would be kind of nice, and it's not the end of the world whether you get a red jacket or not. For most people, for these guys, it's a big deal. And we probably, you know, debate it more than most cities would. But I think for Hernandez, who left in bad circumstances and then wins a World Series in New York, I think it would kind of bring things full circle to kind of, not that there's any healing that needs to be done, but don't you think? I mean, he was a great Cardinal. For the most part, they were bad teams until the very end when they won the World Series right towards the end of his career here. But he was a great Cardinal, arguably the greatest defensive first baseman
ever,
who could also hit.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think it would be a – I think he would love it, and it would be entertaining.
Another thing about the book that was interesting is that how little money they made, and I guess Hernandez, you know, wasn't exactly a great money manager, but he would go to, you know, friends, hey, can you spot me a couple $100? I'm driving back.
As a player?
Yeah. Wow. Like he was driving back from St. Louis to, you know, the West Coast where he lived at the end of the offseason, and he would literally ask people, hey, can you give me a couple $100 to get by? I mean, gosh. And now you have a guy who's going to make $40,000 per plate appearance in Bryce Harper.
That's just unbelievable. Hey, you just swing on that first pitch, you know, slow roller to second. God, that is a bad at bat. That's $40,000. And Kershaw, it's like $1 million a start. You go out there in like the third inning, you're like, my arm's a little tight. You know what? I better just come out of this game.
How about making $170,000 a game, basically, for Bryce Harper? And what if you go 0 for 4 that game? That's a lot of bang for your buck.
You better talk to the media. You just made $170,000. Yeah. It's the least you can do. I mean, I think the history on this will be that they gave him too many years. That's obvious. I think when the Albert deal happened, didn't we all say they're going to regret that at the back end of the
Absolutely
deal?
Absolutely we did.
I mean, everybody knew that. Everybody. And so they signed these deals. They have to know. I mean, the argument against the Phillies would be, who was offering 12? Who was offering 11? And it looks like the Giants and Dodgers. I thought they were offering shorter term, weren't they, with higher AAV? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, the Dodgers, it was 40. I heard as much maybe as 45 reported.
They were willing to load up on salary, but shorter term.
Right, right.
That's why I'm saying to the Phillies, why did you have to? That was probably the only way they could get to the big total number. that Boris
which
was
Boris
determined.
Wanted. Yeah, there's no doubt that that's
you know that that was it. Boris just had to get to that big number.
Doug's prison wallet. I'm going to Costco on the way home and stocking up on some salsa.
This is Chuck Marlowe has joined the conversation. You really. I'm sorry, oh, Alan Sharevsky.
It's my fault.
It's your fault.
Because I created this story. By the way.
You favorited?
Here's what's funny about it. So I was reading about this story because my friends from college, who are all sickos, we have this text chain. And anytime there's a crazy story, they post it in there. So I start reading about it, and I'm laughing. So I go to post it on Twitter, and I look. Fox 2 Now had posted the same story about 2 minutes before me. This is one of those stories where, look, it is gross, it is sick, but if you see that headline, are you going to not click on it? No, you're going to click, and you're going to want to know a little bit more about it.
Did you actually watch the video?
I did not watch the video.
Okay.
I didn't know there was a video.
Well, that's how he – because when it – all I saw was the headline, and I was thinking, how would anyone know this unless there's, you know, cameras in the restaurant? And then you find out he's a delivery guy. How would anyone know this? Of course, there's a video. There's always a video. And it was female driver commenting, saying, that's what you get for leaving a crappy tip. But I did want to interview the guy and just say, did you do it to be spiteful or did you do it for pleasure? I think that's what, this would be a great Dr. Rick topic as well.
Chuck, those friends that you were talking about, those are some of the friends that come to your house that you don't invite Martin over?
Oh, yes. No, these are Chicago friends, college buddies.
Okay. Hey,
you guys
big,
are always, always welcome.
Oh, you had a big party the other night, and you're like, well, they were not our work friends.
How
oh, they were.
This?
It was a different group.
How about this? This weekend, all of you guys are invited. It's daddy daycare all weekend long. Mom is gone at a bachelorette party in Austin, Texas.
Oh,
Hoff's
wow.
also going to Austin, Texas. But I'm watching the kid all weekend, so if you want to have guys' weekend, watch some basketball, watch the combine.
Change a diaper.
Drink some beers. Change some dipes. Let's do this.
By the way, the Irish Outlaw, friend of the show, Ryan Coyne, said for Frank, I stopped in the new Key Malls last night to buy a gift card for somebody special's birthday. I won't say in case it's a surprise. Mark bought me a drink for what he considered an excessive wait that really wasn't long at all. Of course, like a good Irishman, I didn't take a glass of wine. I ordered a beer. Can't wait to try out the gift card. What a guy. Salute.
Very nice.
That. Checking out the Key Malls. I was at Westport yesterday afternoon. Carson had a snow day because of the ice. So I was home in the afternoon, and he's on some YouTube video. I don't know where they find this stuff. But the guys were playing bocce ball. And he goes, Dad, what is this? And I said, do we want to call Uncle Frank? I said, do you want to go play? So we went to Westport Social, and he and I
very nice.
Spent the afternoon, you know, like any good dad, had him at a bar drinking and happy hour. We played bocce ball, shuffleboard, ping pong.
That's a great place, yeah.
We had a great time.
I'll take a Guinness and a juice and a sippy cup.
Dad, what do you want? We were there at about 2:30. You know, it's real quiet, nice and empty. We're a little pre-happy hour. Shuffleboard like I was at Del Boca Vista.
Yeah.
It's a perfect day.
Isn't day drinking fun, though?
It is when you got nothing to do.
It gets back to Frank. We talked about this a couple weeks ago or days ago about March Madness. Is there anything better than coming to a Hot Shots on that Thursday, first day of March Madness, the games tip at what, 11 a.m., whatever it is, and just taking off work, sitting down, having a couple meals, watching three or four games, and having a few beers.
Did you do the Vegas for the tournament ever? Didn't you go out there in recent years? Wasn't it during the NCAA tournament, the opening round?
We went for about 3 or 4 years in a row for March Madness for one of the weeks. For one of the weekends.
Yeah. I would like to do the Thursday opening day in Vegas at the sport and just be betting on all the games.
Maybe with our friend Brad Beal.
Yeah. Brad, that's right. He spent a March Madness with us at a Hooters.
And we're like, you got to get back to Chaminade that day.
we were so worried, like, oh, this we're kind of close by. We're in Maryland Heights. I wonder if they could shuttle him over, just do a segment with us. It'd be a lot of fun. It's his senior year. He's got to skip class. Maybe they can just get him over there real quick. He was there for like 2 hours.
Brad, thanks for coming by. Okay.
Hey, no problem. We turn around. We're leaving, he's and he's eating wings.
And now he's making, what, 30, 26, or $28 million per year. He can probably pay that forward,
and
pay it back to us.
He's playing great.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about him.
I thought Tony Kornheiser had a great line about yesterday. He's talking about, you know, this crazy salary. He says, you have to remember, Bryce Harper is still making less than Otto Porter is.
Seriously.
26 for Otto.
Okay, we said earlier, your kids should play baseball over football. They should play basketball over baseball.
Man, baseball and basketball, the contracts, the overall value is different because the NBA, what, the longest contract is now 5 years?
Yeah.
I saw that Russell Westbrook has the largest contract in the history of the NBA, and it's something like $207 million, but he's still making over $40 million per year. Now, the baseball contract looks so much bigger, but Russell Westbrook will probably get two or maybe three of those deals.
He passed Steph Curry, I think it was at 166. So
he's making $40 million a year. So that's $500,000 per game. You just pull your hammy in the first quarter, like, oh, better sit this one out. Where are we? We're in Sacramento on a Tuesday. I'll skip this game. $500,000.
What you said earlier, though, it is a great analogy or description, and it puts things in perspective. If Bryce Harper goes 0 for 4 or 0 for 5 with 3 Ks and hits into a DP and he's mad about it, but then he goes, well, I also made $160,000
today. Yeah. But, you know, on the big number thing, I don't really have as much of a problem like with Westbrook making that. Remember the Bill Veeck line? It's not the price of stardom; it's the price of mediocrity that's the problem with salaries today. So.
Oh, I have no problem with that. I feel like the issue with the NBA for years was that everybody was making $9 million. You'd have the guy who was the 13th player on the bench that never played, and he was making $7 million. Now it seems like the superstars, to try to keep them in those markets, those guys are making $40 or $45 million, and I'm fine with that.
Eric Dampier was like a journeyman, and he had a $60 million contract.
I remember right before Stepanovich's knee went out, right after it went out, then John Contract, who they called John Contract, who was a stiff and, you know, half the player Steve was, he got this insane deal.
From the Hawks, right? John Contract, one of the great nicknames of all time.
And I'll look this up, but growing up.
No, you actually won't.
No, I will. Growing up a Pistons fan, you had that great run. Joe Dumars put that team together. They won a title. Should have won another title. And also, if he doesn't draft Darko, they probably win. You had Carmelo there and a bunch of other great players. But after that run, Joe Dumars went out and spent a ton of money on Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva.
Ugh.
I mean, huge contracts for players that were just basically guys, not superstars at all.
All right, before we end this hour, I want to tell you about our good friends at Kemal's Restaurant. If you're looking for a place this weekend, then why not try the hot new restaurant at Westport? Kemal's been around for 93 years, was there last night, sampled just the strip steak, and our chef just does an unbelievable job with it. I had the basilica cream pasta, the cheese bread, the salad, had some Italian cream cake for dessert. That is a must. You ought to just go and just check out the new place, though. We put a lot of thought into it, a lot of old pictures from the Grand Avenue location, pictures of my mom, my dad, Mrs. Kemal, Mr. Kemal, my brother's a young man. Go on by and check out the new hot restaurant in St. Louis, Kemal's. And what do you have coming up in the coveted hour?
Oh, we got a lot of hot topics to get to that we've been holding over. Midday Grind on deck here. We're live at the Hot Shots in Fenton.